A Georgia father faces two counts of involuntary manslaughter in the deaths of his twin toddler daughters last week. Police say the twins died after he left them in a hot car. At least 26 children have died from heat stroke this year after being left in cars, says Jan Null. He's a meteorologist at San Jose State University in California, and he tracks these cases.
Every single one is preventable, whether it's the 51% of those where they're accidentally forgotten by a parent or caregiver, about 29% where children get into a car on their own. They're playing in a car, they're looking for a quiet place, something like that. Or the 17% of the children who are intentionally left in a vehicle, not necessarily do them harm, but they think it's okay to leave the child while I, you know, go shopping, go to the racetrack, go have a drink, or whatever.
Every second counts when a child is left in a hot car. Null says in the first 10 minutes after a car door is closed, the temperature inside rises by nearly 20 degrees.
In Atlanta, an average summer temperature is 89 degrees. So that would mean after just 10 minutes, the temperature inside a car would be 108 degrees. After 20 minutes, it would be 118 degrees. 107 is when about the body temperature that you see when you would start having organs shut down and deaths occurring.
Null says a child's body temperature warms up to five times faster than an adult's. Legislation in Georgia last year would have allowed most people to break into hot cars to free a child locked inside, but that bill never became law. I spoke last year with the bill's sponsor, Republican State Senator Greg Kirk of Americus. We are also joined by Jenny Stanley of Alpharetta. She lost her six-year-old daughter, Sydney, 6 years ago in a hot car. Jenny told me Sydney entered the vehicle on her own and the heat overcame her.
She was looking for a craft that she did not complete in Sunday school. And when her friend was not next door, I feel like she went out to get the craft to take inside to complete. And she continued to look and look, and the longer that she looked, just the more heat took over her, and she couldn't think straight.
And your husband eventually found her?
Yes, he did. He and my middle son.
So in your particular case, legislation allowing someone to break the window wouldn't apply.
Well, it could have. The car was in the driveway, so if a neighbor or someone walking down the street, they actually could have seen her and broken a window at that time.
And obviously you would have had no problem with someone breaking the
window. Oh, absolutely not. I would welcome that.
But let me go to you, Greg. Your legislation addresses one particular slice of this particular issue. Would you have then ideas about how to expand it to maybe include other situations?
Well, what you're describing is, and I'm so sorry for you for your loss there, but thank you for helping champion this, because there's just so much about this people don't know, and so I want to applaud you for being here. What you're describing is just purely accidental. I mean, I know on Sunday afternoons we typically take a nap, and we have four grandbabies now. All of our children are grown, but the oldest will be two later this month, and if we were taking a nap and she woke up and went out in the vehicle, those are things that just happen. But I would hope that this legislation would, remove any hesitation someone would have to act on behalf of a child if they saw a child in a hot vehicle and to go enter that vehicle anyway.
So, Jenny, talk to me about what it is you say to parents. I mean, clearly we heard from the expert that there's a certain number of deaths that are still caused by people who feel like their kid's going to be safer in their car seat, left in the car, than running into the grocery store for a few minutes. So what is it that you say to parents?
You know, I just don't feel like that's possible. You do not have control of your child. You do know what circumstances are going to bring forth that maybe while you're in the gas station. I just say never do it. You know, your car could lock. You know, the doors lock on the car doors when you get out. There's just so many things that can happen that it's just not worth the risk.
And what are some of the things that you're suggesting as solutions? I mean, we've said before this legislation would probably not have helped in the case of your daughter, but what might have?
Well, for instance, what about motion detectors?
Inside the car?
Yeah. I mean, we have them in the homes. When you sit in the passenger side, it recognizes a weight there to
for the airbags?
Yeah, second airbag. So why can't we do something similar and try to take care of, like, all possible chances? I think that would be great, motion detectors inside of a car. There's also so many other things. In fact, there is a company that has introduced a product, and I apologize, the name of the company has slipped my mind, but basically it's when you put an infant in a car seat, rear-facing car seat, and where you attach the buckles together at an infant's chest, there is some type of alarm or a monitor that is actually adhered to this, to the child's infant seat. So when it's locked together and the child is in there, it triggers a some type of response mechanism, potentially, if it's needed. So if an adult leaves the child in the car, a message is either sent to the iPhone or a smartphone to notify the parent that there's still someone in that seat because the buckles have not been released.
In case they're distracted, as Greg Kirk was talking about.
Correct.
So what about that? What other kind of things, when you talk to parents, what kind of solutions do people come up with that might prevent something that keeps the doors locked after a certain period of time? Anything like that?
I don't know. I try to suggest to parents maybe put something in the back seat with the child that you're not going to forget, maybe your briefcase, not to say that you would forget your child, but just something, a reminder. A lot of times this happens when parents are distracted or the caretaker is distracted.
Or they're doing something unusual.
Right, out of their norm, and they're just kind of on normal mode, and something different is just not going to, may not be in the front of their mind. So put something in the back seat that, you're going to have to get. Your briefcase, again, is an example, a purse or your phone. And then I also actually encourage parents to teach their children that are old enough to get out of car seats to just lay on the horn.
Let's hear from Jan Nulligan from San Jose State University, and he's talking about laws in other states.
Well, there are only 20 states in the country that have laws against leaving children unattended in vehicles. That's only 40% of the states, and Georgia is not one of those. And there are more states that have laws against leaving pets unattended in vehicles than children.
Let me go back to you, Greg. Is that another piece of legislation we should have as well? Penalties, should you do that?
Well, again, each situation is different. And so I think at that point, it becomes that law enforcement officer's discretion about, what I do with this case from this point forward. Do I contact DFACS? Because is this truly a case of child neglect? Or I don't know, perhaps, but at this point, I think that's where it's handled at, is at the discretion of that officer that comes and they assess what took place and does that make sense. And there's no excuses for it at all. I mean, but unfortunately, we know this happens in society. And I will take one disagreement here with the technology piece. I think it will be as simple as downloading an app on your phone that will alert you. So I think more people will use that, because I don't think it'll be a cost to the consumer of a vehicle that has that type of technology.
That was my conversation with Republican State Senator Greg Kirk of Americus and parent Jenny Stanley of Alpharetta.